You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh my goodness, we have Anthony Tonon himself on air. I'm just going to kind of rudely actually turn down this excellent third party track so we can get our conversation underway. I was just struggling a little bit with some technical-y kind of stuff, but we'll get that down there. And then I've got some lovely beard music by Jeffrey that I'll be turning up here. Atlantis Meditation, Aotearoa New Age artist Jeffrey. To set a lovely tone. Thank you so much, Anthony, for taking time out this evening.
Kia ora, Chris. Nice to chat to you.
On Free the Sheep.
Yes.
Your 100% Aotearoa music show every Wednesday on 95 BFM. Whereabouts are you speaking from? Are you in Whanganui right now?
Yes, I am in Gonville, Whanganui. I'm in the backyard shed.
Oh, excellent.
Where I practice. And yes. So just trying to sneak in a couple more practices before going global on Friday night.
Yeah, right. So, before we get into the nitty-gritty of the Going Global Festival, how has everything been in Whanganui? I've heard reports from people on the ground that there's been some great shows and parties there this winter.
Yeah, look, it is great. It just feels better and better. I mean, when I moved here a while ago, it was already a very strong visual arts town.
Yeah.
I would probably argue that it has the highest proportion of working artists per capita in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But I moved here because it had a great little underground music scene and you could get people to gigs and a good gig-going culture. But we weren't the biggest part of the town. And we're still not, but it does feel like... It does feel like we're getting more musicians and we're getting more music and, you know, like...
Do you mean like touring musos?
No, internally. Just people who live in Whanganui playing shows. And that's the amazing thing about Whanganui too. You know, I was just sort of thinking about it, you know, with coming up to Auckland this weekend. I think what I learnt from Whanganui... is that it's a noble goal to do a really awesome Whanganui show and nothing else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's a great sense of meaning in doing that, and there are musicians here who are really great and they have no interest in playing beyond Whanganui. But what they do focus on is, you know, is this a really amazing venue? Is this a really amazing environment? Mm. Is everybody dancing in a way that, you know, I've done trade festivals and stuff here and overseas, and sometimes it can be, there can be a sort of bleak side to that, or, you know, you go to cities like London or LA and the gigs become not even gigs but time slots. You've got like 1 hour in this venue and then you shuffle out and then someone else has their 1 hour.
Right, right.
And everybody has to have people that come and put in the hat, and sometimes it's just if there wasn't the promise of some dream at the end of it, you would never do the gig. It wouldn't stand on its own. And I think that what Whanganui is really good at doing is creating something that deserves to exist on its own right.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I've also some friends of mine who live there have talked about. Like in relation to whether a tour comes through Whanganui or not, he's described it as, who was actually an artist who I just played, Sound Canvas Ultra, he described it as if somebody doesn't play in Whanganui, then it's their loss.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's its own little universe for sure.
Yeah, sweet, sweet. I personally, as a musician myself, like I'm playing in Whanganui, has been an absolute highlight of playing live music for me in the last couple of years. Like unreservedly, I'd say that the shows there have been excellent.
Oh, that's great. I mean, it's been a pleasure to see you play down here. And it feels like, it does seem like in the last year, I mean, it's not a scene. You know, we're never going to create no one's interested in creating a Dunedin sound or anything like that. But there's a little bit of cross-pollination going on. You know, I think what I'm doing, I can see that I've started over the years to pull some influence from having Alphabet Head in the town and having bands like Bird Party that are sort of on this borderline of like something going towards turntablism, but finding many variations on that. But then also, you know, there's a lot of dancing here as well, and you know, there have been some great nights where, you know, for a guy that started as a folk musician and you know, was obsessed with jangly guitars, it's been a really nice new act in my life to go to parties where people really know how to DJ well and just really appreciate great dance music. And it's kind of wedged open a door that I didn't entirely think I had access to.
Well, I think this is actually quite a good segue into chatting about what you'll be up to at the Going Global Festival up on K Road this Friday. Are you performing a new set of songs?
I am indeed, yeah. And I mean, I was just talking to the Others Way team before as well. I'm also coming up for Others Way.
Yeah.
And I'm on a little, like the gears have just started to turn again. I haven't done public shows for quite a long time. But I've got this, and then I've got Great Sounds Great in Wellington, and then a couple of arts festivals, and coming back for Others Way. But yeah, it's all new music. It's all completely new music. This Friday, I just had the chance to do the 20-minute set.
And
unfortunately,
short set's a good set.
Short set is a good set, and I mean, there's some amazing artists playing, so there's a really good chance for me to catch up on things that you probably know all about, but might have escaped me.
I would hope so, but I suspect not.
we've been working on this album for a couple of years, and about a year ago we set ourselves the target of doing one secret show.
Right.
And the secret show was supposed to sort of drive the completion of some of the songs. Well, the songs were finished, but the we had an idea of what the sound was going to be. Mm-hmm. But the only way to get it made was to jump on the television and stay up late lots of nights trying to get this show ready. And
Syndstrom Deluge.
It's interesting. So a wee while ago, early in the album making process, I had the songs, and I went with my band. We went to Auckland. We did a week of playing the songs in Auckland. But what I said to the band is, look, just learn the chords. You know, get to know the songs, and then we're just going to do 2 hours on each, and whatever we get is what we get, and then we move on. And that was great and really fun, and it was nice to not have expectations. Mm-hmm. I then took those stems back. I mean, we recorded it very roughly, and there's lots of bleed in the room. But I took those stems back home, and I started thinking, okay, well, what did I like, what did I not like?
Yeah.
And I was playing around with one song, and I wanted Stu's drum part to be different. And I didn't know how, and I'm not very fast on a computer, but I am fast on a Deluge.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought, oh, I know how I can fix his drum. I will cut him up and put him in the Deluge and then do it that way. But the thing was that when I did that, his samples all had bleed, like from me mumbling in the room or from a piano or something like that. And, you know, I've been wondering what the new sound was, because, I mean, the last record we used lots of, like, sort of 808 kind of quite, like, cool, but, like, kind of completely synthesized, you know, in a sort of sterile way, drum samples. And so when I played this, it kind of had that sound. It reminded me of the, like, late 90s or the early 2000s, like, some of the music that was on the radio.
Do you mean like do you mean like big beat?
No, I mean like I was
like
a pretty,
sample drums or.
I mean like things like Sophie Ellis Bextor, like
yeah. Okay, yeah, cool.
You know, like that kind of era, and you know, I later became a snob and only listened to jangly guitars. But when I was 16, 17, I loved all that music.
Mm-hmm.
And so started playing around with that and took it to Jonathan, who was making the album with, and he liked the direction too, and he said, you know what, this, and we couldn't figure out what the bass should be, how it should sound, and he said, well, you know what you need acid bass, the sort of wicka wicka wicka.
Yeah, heck yeah, yeah.
And so we've ended up making this record, which sort of sounds, it's my crazy, very idiosyncratic take on like a Daft Punk album from 2000 or a Moby album.
So do you feel like that your time in Whanganui has kind of informed this kind of this direction, or do you feel like you would have sort of stumbled upon this kind of way anyhow?
I wouldn't have stumbled upon it. No, I think probably like COVID, there was a lot of dancing during COVID, and that sounds terrible, doesn't it? But I mean the kind of, you know, are we all good now or are we not?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. There were secret dance parties and things like that, and I got introduced to just a lot of good house music, I guess. And you know, as Jack, whose music taste I love, tells me, you can't have house music and songs with verses and choruses. But you can be influenced by the sort of sounds and that sort of thing.
And Jack, who what's Jack's last name actually?
Mitchell Anion.
Yeah, he's an excellent DJ. I really like his selections personally.
Yeah, his kind of taste has been pretty huge on me going in this direction. I mean, I always wanted to make people dance. I've never been able to do it. I mean, I had an album called Up Here for Dancing. And I've always tended to move towards beats that are just a little bit too slow or just a little bit too weird. And you know, there's a little bit of that on the album too, but I do think that there are a couple of things that just feel... Yeah, a little bit magical and very poppy. Weirdly, I just seem to make more and more poppy music as I do it, which is odd.
That sounds hugely exciting. And I'll be there on Friday at the Double Whammy Bar. Now, these tunes that are you performing solo or with a band?
Solo.
So, yeah.
I'm working on a bit of a. I'm actually designing a show with a team down here that's going to be designed for a cinema, and So we've set up this whole crazy stage setup where my keyboard stands. I've got two of them, and they ride around on little dollies. They're mostly wireless. So, all with the idea that, you know, you've got such limited space in against the cinema screen, and you also need to get stuff out of the way so that you can highlight the visuals and things. So,
interesting. Is this the conceptual show that you've been working on for Nelson Arts Festival?
That's right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So so I guess like. That's actually when it gets to Others Way, we're going to do a version of it at Others Way.
Yeah.
As well. So it's designed to just have one cinema screen, and we've got Erica Sklenar's visual DJing,
mm-hmm.
and we're mixing together archive footage, a lot of stuff from the National Film Unit, and also doing some filming here in Whanganui. And we are trying to tell the story of the Situationist International.
Excellent.
and their attempt to take over France in the 1960s.
Amazing. That sounds great. I'll leave it there to let listeners' imaginations just draw the dots. And also then, like, people will have to come along on Friday to kind of get a little teaser in some ways.
It's gonna be fun to be forced to do something in 20 minutes and see how that plays out. And I love Whammy Bar, it's and Double Whammy, and it's a great place to do something like that.
Are you just up for the one night, or will you be going to both nights or the fest?
I hope to see some things tomorrow night. I'm going to fly up tomorrow.
Cool.
Tomorrow mid morning. Cool. Yeah.
Is there anyone in particular that you're keen to check out?
Goodness. I have just had a little bit of a mind blank.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always happy to be surprised at these things and catch up a little bit. I mean, it's so hard to communicate music for the first time, except if you can actually see people in person.
Yeah,
it's kind of the one way that you can translate one person's brain into another a bit more accurately.
The reason why I'm excited to go along to the Going Global Fest is actually to see the artists who I'm unfamiliar with as well. That's the most exciting thing about it for me personally, and the opportunity to see potentially so many not very much ticket price is pretty unique.
Absolutely.
I think that sounds hugely exciting, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing you play.
Brilliant. Yeah, and really nice to talk to you, Chris, and it'll be fun to see you at the show.
I'll be trying to get some Deluge tips off you on the Friday as well, hopefully.
Yeah, I've time synced them, so I'm trying to treat them a little bit like CDJs.
Okay, this sounds hugely interesting. I'll talk to you about this on Friday. Thank you so much for calling up, and have a great show. Anthony Tonin.
Thanks very much.
The award-winning Whanganui-based music.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.